Vayter and Shasmer and Daf Yud, picking it up 10 lines down. So we left off yesterday discussing a sukkah underneath another sukkah. You have a two-story sukkah. And how the bottom one is going to be pasul and different dinim, how that would be and not. The question we're going to deal with, firstly, is that how much space does it have to be between the two schachs in order to be that it's considered separate and that the bottom is going to be no good because it's a sukkah inside of a sukkah? As opposed to maybe just saying that, hey, you know what? It's just one big sukkah and the schachs are really connected to each other. It's just one big sukkah. It should be totally fine. We're going to have three different answers to that question. We're going to attack answer number three from our Mishnah. And after that, we're going to show that basically he's going to survive the attacks and everything's going to be good and dandy. That's going to bring us to the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah is going to talk about what happens if you spread a sheet over the schach or underneath the schach or that type of stuff. How does that impact the sukkah itself? And then get into what about if you have beds with canopies in the sukkah itself? Is that a problem? That's going to take us pretty much to the end of the daf with a couple different examples of those type of inyanim. So let's just jump right in. Here we go. Kamehi, 10 lines down, yudam and alf. Kamehi, being sukkah l'sukkah yiseach tachtona psula. How much space is needed to be between the two schachs in order for it to be that it's a separate sukkah, and therefore the bottom is going to be no good because of a sukkah within a sukkah, as opposed to being one big happy family, and therefore the whole thing is good. Answer number one of the three. Rav Huna, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says tefach. Now I'm going to give an intro and then we'll read it inside. There's something known as tumas ohel. Let's say you have a kezias of a mace. And sitting right next to it, you have a kli. Now kezias of a mace, someone who touches it, it becomes tame. Someone comes into its airspace, right? If it's under when something known as ohel, it also becomes tame. Let's say a kli is next to it. And there you have a beam of wood on top of it. And the beam of wood is a tefach by a tefach. And it has a space between the actual kezias ben hameis and the board. It's not right on top of it. It has a tefach space in between it. It creates what's known as ohel. And it's going to be metame the kli. That's number one thing it does. And another thing it does is it acts as a barrier to stop the tumah from shooting up to the heavens. All right, so that is only if it has that height. However, if the height is less than a tefach, it's within a tefach, then it doesn't create ohel, and the kli, it's right next, so it doesn't become tummy. And it's also not a barrier, so the tumah will shoot up. So if I jump over this thing, over that piece of wood, if it's a tefach in between it, then I won't become tummy. If it is, then I will become tummy. That's answer number one. Rav Huna says tefach. Shekin metzina ba'ohel a tumah tefach. We see the ohel of a tumah has to be a tefach. The tanan, as we learned in a Mishnah, changes it to tanan. A Mishnah olos tefach al tefach brum tefach. If you have something which is covering over an etzem, a kezias of a mace, and it is a tefach by tefach, and has a height of at least a tefach between it and the actual between the mace, the tumah thing, and the board, let's call it, then maybe it's a tumah, v'chotzitz b'fnei tumah. It's maybe it's a tumah, meaning it becomes an ohel, and therefore the thing next to it is going to become tummy. V'chotzitz b'fnei tumah means anything above it is not going to become tummy because there's a chatzitah between the two. Aval pachos miyum tefach, if it's less than that, if it's the board is within the tefach of it, then lo mevi v'lo chotzitz. It doesn't make it into an ohel, in which case something next to it doesn't become tummy. Velochotzeitz, even under the same board, velochotzeitz means it's going to shoot up to the heavens. If you jump over it, you come tame. That's answer number one. If it's within that amount of space, then it's considered like it's not a sukkah within a sukkah. If it's more than that, then it's a sukkah within a sukkah. And then we have a problem. Now we have answer number two. Rav Chistav bar Rav Huna Amri Arba. They say it's got to be four tfachim. Why? Shalom atzino makum chashuv pachos me'arba. We don't find anything less than 4x4 tvachim is not considered a makom chashuv. Rashi explains means to be its own rishus, either as a karmelis or as a rishus a yachid. It needs to be at least 4x4. And here wouldn't be its own rishus to be called a sukkah in a sukkah with anything less than this. So if it's within 4 tvachim, let's say 1 tvach, 2, 3, 3.9, then it's considered one big family. Once it's 4 tvachim, then the bottom is going to be problematic. It's answer number 2. And now we've answered number 3. Ushmul Omer Asara. He says 10 tvachim. My time is Shmuel. What's pshat of 10 tvachim? Pretty pashat. Kech shera, kech psula. Just like it's hechsher, so too, that's how it will pasul. Meaning, until it reaches 10 tvachim, it's not considered a kasher de gesukah. Therefore, it's not going to be able to pasul something else. Important line. Kech shera, kech psula. Mach shera ba'asara, apsula ba'asara. Just like in order to be kasher, it has to be 10, so too, in order to pasul, it's got to be 10 as well. Tinawawawan. Right? And if it doesn't reach that, it's not called a sukkah, and therefore the bottom one won't be pasul. All right, now we're going to have an attack on number three, on Shmuel, from our Mishnah. We know, tonight we looked in our Mishnah. Rabbi Huda Omer, Im ein diorin be'elyona hatachtona k'sheira. This is our Mishnah. What did we say in our Mishnah? Tanakama of our Mishnah came along and he said that if you have a sukkah underneath a sukkah, it's pasul. Rabbi Huda then says, no, as long as it's im ein diorin be'elyona, the tachtona is going to be kosher. Whatever that line means, seemingly you would think it means if there's nobody living over there, but we're going to see it's not maybe not necessarily what it means. But the statement was, I mean, the tachtona is going to be kosher. Now, this is where we break it down. My ein diorin, what does that mean, ein diorin? E lema diorin mamish, if you want to say that it means that there actually aren't anybody, there's nobody actually living over there. And then if nobody's living over there, the bottom one is going to be okay. Atu diorin kagarmi. What is that? Can't mean that nobody lives there. Because that wouldn't decide the status of whether it's a sukkah or not, right? What whether you're living there or not living there, that decides what it's called a sukkah. It doesn't make any sense. Elalav my diurin. So rather, what does it mean when it says this? What does it mean? This ain diurin means kol she'ena reuya ledira. Anything which is not fitting to go ahead and be living over there. Hechidami. What does that mean? Anything's not fitting. The logavo asara. It means where it's not 10 tfachim high. Right? It means it's not roi, it's not 10 tfachim tall, meaning 10 tfachim is a deciding factor. But seemingly, if it's less than that, it's considered one big sukkah. Now, what does that mean? Michlal the Tanakama Savar, that means, that it implies that according to the Tanakama of our Mishnah, afa b'sheinu ruya l'dira psula, even if it's less than 10 tfachim, it's still considered a sukkah instead of a sukkah and no good. Are you telling me that Shmuel is going against the Tanakama, is going against the Chachamim? Thus is the Shaya, thus is the Kasha on Shmuel. It seems to be that you're telling me that Shmuel is going only in the world of Rabbi Yehuda and arguing with the Tanakama. And seemingly the Tanakama is Chachamim. We should be going with the Chachamim. What's going on? Answers the Gemara. No. You misunderstood. That's not what Ein Diurin means. Kiyasa of Dimi Amay came and he says, Amrai b'marava. We said in Eretz Yisroel, im ein ha-tachtona yecholo lekabel karmu k'sasa she'al yona ha-tachtona k'sheira. What it means is as follows. That Rashi explains, even the Tanakama would agree that if it's less than 10 tfachim, the bottom one is going to be kosher. It's not considered a sukkah. So rather, the deciding factor of ein diurin is whether or not the schach of the lower one, meaning it's which ends up being the floor of the upper one, right? The lower one is schach, and the upper one uses that as its floor. Is it strong enough to hold karimuksasas, pillows, blankets, like a place to sit and sleep? Is it strong enough to hold it? If not, then even if the top one is ten tzvachim, still the lower one is kosher, since you can't quote-unquote live there. Therefore, it's considered like it's not there, and the bottom one isn't pasul. Right, and that's what he says. Im ein tachtonu yichol lekabel karmik sasa shel yona. If the bottom one can't hold the karmik sasa of the top one, then a tachtona kshera, the bottom one becomes kosher. The top one is no longer considered something which is chushiv. Now, so according to this, Shmuel isn't going against the Tanakama because he agrees that 10 is not a sukkah. I'm sorry, that less than 10 is not a sukkah. However, the only problem with this implication is the following. Michlal, that's going to come and imply the Tanakama Savar Alpha Pishainu Rilakabal Psula. You mean to say that if he's saying, if you want to say that that Rabbi Yehuda is going and telling us if it can't hold karmic sasos, that it's going to be a kasha, there's a sukkah, the bottom one, and the top one's going to be no good, that means to say that Tanakama says, even though it can hold karmic sasos, still it's considered a sukkah, the top one, and then the bottom is going to be puzzle. All right, so now it sounds like the top sukkah doesn't have to be so stark in order for it to still be called a sukkah, which opens up the possibility of saying that even if it's less than 10 amos, right? Because it doesn't have to be so stark. So even less than 10 amos, it would still be called a sukkah as well. Meaning that Shmuel, who says that the defining factor of the top one being called a sukkah or not, of being 10 tfachim, does go against the Tanakama. Oh, fix it. I said before 10 amos. I mean 10 tfachim, right? It does go against the Tanakama. Rejection. No. Ike beinayu diyichol lekabel ayde etchak. No, what we're talking about is a different case. Really, according to Tanakama, it's got to be 10 tfachim tall. And the floor needs to be able to withstand karmuk sasos. And therefore, Shmuel isn't going against the Tanakama when he says 10 tfachim. they are on the same page. The question arises by a case where the bottom of the top sukkah, in other words, the schach of the bottom one, so it now becomes the floor of the top sukkah, is getting pretty wobbly and unstable from the karmic susos, according to the Tanakhama, that would still be called a sukkah. And therefore, it would pasel the bottom one. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would be called pasel, and therefore the bottom one would actually be kosher. So at the end of the day, everybody comes out working good and dandy, and Shmuel stays alive. Okie dokie, up to the next Heilige Mishnah. Mishnah, Osios Neshama, getting deeper and deeper into our soul, getting to know who we really are. Zok the Mishnah. Piris ala sadin mipnei achama. Let's say a person decides to go and take a sheet, and he puts it over the schach because of the sun. It's really sunny, and therefore they want to get so sunny. So what they do is they put a sheet on top of it. Otach, try to picture this. You're sitting in your sukkah. You got enough schach, but it's still hot, and you want to take away that burn. So you throw a sheet on top of it. What's the din? Oh, tachteh mipnei haneshar. Or you go ahead and you put it underneath it because of the nesher. Rashi says, what does that mean? Shaloye elyon v'kismin noshin al shulchanum. You don't have all the leaves and all the stuff from the tree falling onto your table. V'sadin davar mekabel tumah. And we know that the sadin, a sheet, is something which is mekabel tumah. U'pasel eschach. That's something which is pasel eschach. You can't use a eschach like the Mishnah is going to, like we're going to see in Daf Yud Aleph. And therefore, what happens with Tachem Nei Nasher? Oshe peris al gabe akinof. Or what you did is you took what's known as a kinof. A kinof is where you have a bed, and there are four poles coming off on each side of the bed. And what you do is you take a sheet and you throw it over the four poles. Then what's going to be the case if you do that as well? Psula. It's going to be puzzle. Now, the Lashon of Psula is an interesting Lashon. Technically, it's not talking about the third case. That's not Psula, just you're not allowed to sit in there. There's no problem with the actual Sukkah. But the other one is the problem with the actual Sukkah itself, because this is something which is a Mekabel Tumah, and you can't have Schach, which is a Mekabel Tumah. So if you put it on top of your Schach, put it underneath your Schach, you can't say it became Schach itself, and therefore it's going to puzzle it. The third one is going to be a problem. You're not allowed to go ahead and sit in there. Rashi uses the lashon of psula means mishum de'inu yoshe b'sukkah. The ohel mafsik b'neim. You're not sitting in a sukkah because you have an ohel, a tent, which is blocking over you. Aval porisu al gabi naklite hamita. But you're allowed to put it on naklite hamita. Naklite hamita is, try to imagine you have a bed and you lie down in the bed and you're lying in the middle of the bed. And now you put a pole from your head, not from your actual head, but by the head of the bed, where your head is in the middle and it goes straight up, and by your feet in the middle goes straight up, and then you put a bar across that or some sort of rope across that. Now you go ahead and you throw a sheet over that, it then slants down on the left and on the right. That is known as naklite amita. You're allowed to go ahead and put a sheet over that type of matzav, and thus is nishkin a problem. Rashi at the end of his pshat says, "Umishum de'ein lo gag tefach rochev lamala lo mikre ol." Because the fact doesn't have a gag tefach, it doesn't have a gag, a roof of a tefach wide on the top of it. It's not called an ohel. It's not called a tent. It's just called like walls that are slanted. Zok the Heilige Gemara. Amar Rav Chista. Lo shanu elo mipnei anashar. Avalon oso ksheira. The only issue is if you go ahead and you spread the sheet, in order you're doing it because you want to block the leaves. But if you're doing it for decoration, for noi sukkah, it's kosher. Says Gemara. Pshita. What are you talking about? The Mishnah says straight up, it says the problem is what? Mipnei anashar tonight. It said the problem is the leaves. It means if you're not doing it for leaves, not an issue. You're allowed to spread the sheet as long as it's done just for decoration. Is the Gemara? No, I'll tell you what the problem could have been. Ma'u detema hu adinda filu noso. Similarly, even if it's done even for just decoration, it's going to be a problem. The reason why it says because of leaves, because that's just a normal way of speaking. Those are the issues that would come up often. Kamash Malan comes to tell you not like that. That if you spread the sheet and you did it lanoi, you did it for decorating the sukkah, then that's not going to be a problem. It's going to be all right. Let's bring a proof. Let's say we have a proof. We could back this up. We could bolster it, even though we're going to see it doesn't work out in the end. Sicha kilchasa. The Braisa comes and says that if you put schach on kilchasa, I mean everything is right. Schach is good and fantastic. V'itra bikramim uvizdinim. And you go ahead and v'itra, I mean like, itra is like a crown, so you're like, and it's a type of lashon of decorating. And you decorate it with all these types of beautiful sheets and stuff that has mitsuyarin, it has like designs on it and all that jazz. V'talaba, gozim, shkidim, afarsikin, v'rimonim, and parkile anovim v'ataris shel shibolin, and you go and you hang in it nuts or almonds and peaches and pomegranates or parkile anovim. Masor Shishas explains that's eshkolo shel anovim shein krusin im zmura. It's clusters of grapes. You have these clusters of grapes or different types of grain, yeno shmanim islosos, or you have wine, oil, flour, and all this stuff. Rashi says, nosim ekosos shoschuchis. You put them in glass cups for beauty. Usul is topic, man. It's usul to go ahead and use them. You can't use them anymore. This stuff itself becomes muksa ad motzi yom tov ha'achron shel chag until Yontif, until after it's already over. V'im hisna lam, but if you made a tanai on them, then akolafi tanai, everything goes according to the tanai. In other words, maybe it's coming, which is going to be not muksa. What comes out from this at the end, though, the ikar nekuda for us, that's a side point that's talking about whether it's muksa or it's not muksa. You can make it tanai and you can end up using it. Rashi says gemara beitza, but it's got to be done before ben hashmashos, before actually yontif starts. Once you do that, you're good. But at the end of Rashi says, katani mias sdinin, it brings these sheets. It says if you decorate with sheets, then it's okay. It's muksa, but it doesn't say it's a problem, which means you're allowed to decorate with it. Oh, we have a proof for this idea that it's not going to be an issue. Says Gemara, not a raya. Why? Because Dilma min atzad, maybe that brisa, when it talks about the different sheets, it's talking about that you hang it on the side walls, but you're not putting actually on the top. So, rejection of a raya. Okay, itmar noye sukkah. Ein mimate mesukah. The noise sukkah, the decorations that you put over there, it's not going to be mimayit, it's not going to mess up the sukkah. It's not lowering it. Rashi says it's not lowering it to bring it within 20 amos. In other words, if it's above 20 amos, don't think the noise sukkah is going to lower it to make it okay. And also, if it's 10 tfachim, don't think that if you put that in, it's going to make it now that it's below 10 tfachim. It doesn't mimayit it at all. Amar Rashi, minatzad mimayitin, but from the side it does. So if you have an exact 7x7 tfachim sukkah, and you put the sheets on the wall, or any sort of decorations on the wall, that means you're going to be making it even smaller, it's going to have a problem with the sukkah itself. All right, it's going to pass on the sukkah. Now we have story time. A story about this idea. Minyamin Avdei Derev Ashi. Minyamin was his name. Not to be confused with Binyamin, but Avdei Derev Ashi. Itmisha le kitunta b'maya. His shirt became filled with water. Rashi explains the lashon itmisha as nishua b'mayim. It got soaked up. It's soaking wet with water. And what he did is he took the shirt off and he spread it over on top of the sukkah in order that it should dry out because it was soaking wet. Armalei Rav Ashi, Rav says to him, Daila, dolo lemri kum savchvei take it down from there so people are not going to think I could use schach, something which is mekabel tumah, your shirt, that's not okay. He says back to him, but they see that it's not being wet. Everybody knows that the reason why it's there. Rashi says everyone's going to know the reason I put it over there is in order to dry it out, not for schach. What's the problem? He says no, okay, you're right, I wasn't saying you have to take it off now. I was saying is when it dries, that's what I'm saying. Rashi says the tishkola that you should take it down from there, so people shouldn't think then it's allowed to be used as schach. All right, itmar noisuka hamuflogin mimenu arba. If you have the decorations from the sukkah that are moved away from the schach, four tfachim removed, then we got ourselves a machlokas. Rav Nachman Amar Kshira, he says it's kosher, you're good to go. Rav Chista, Rabba Barav Hunamri Psula, they say it's pasul. Now these persons should sound familiar to you. That's the people that we saw before when we're saying how far does something have to be from the schach. Rav Chista, Rabba Barav Hunamri said four tfachim, right? Anything less than that is not considered makom chashiv, that's shtukal Torah. So they're saying here also similar concept that if it's within dalet tfachim, then if it's more than dal tfachim, then we got ourselves a problem. It's not connected to it at all. And therefore, someone who's under that, it ends up being that it's like if you put a sheet over there or something of the sort, then you have an issue. Then it's not considered noise. It's considered an issue altogether. If Nachman says, nah, it's not a problem because we know the only reason why they're doing it is for decoration. And it's not for schach itself. therefore it's considered that it's batal mevutal to the schach and the nishkin in issue at all. That's what Rashi says. Rav Nachman, given the lenoi sukkah yavino batal legabah, becomes batal from it. Okay, story time, which brings out this idea. Rav Chisav Rabbi Rav Huna Eklul Bei Reish Galusa. They came to visit the Reish Galusa. Choshev Ehele Geyid. And this is talking about on Yontif. Agninu Rav Nachman Besuka Shinoyeh Muflagim Yemena Abar Tvachim. Rav Nachman, who was, Rashi says, Av Beis Din Haya. Nagid Unagidu Mitzuva Beis Reish Gola. He was like the one in charge of what's going on in the house of the Reish Galusa. And he told him to go ahead. He set up that they put these noy sukkahs, decorations, but there were more than four tfachim from the actual schach itself. And that's a problem for Chisav Rabbi Rav Huna. They say it's an issue to sit in a sukkah like that. So what happens though? They were quiet. They didn't say anything. Not a word. Amar lahu, Rav Nachman says back to him, I don't understand. Did you guys change your minds? I thought you said this is a problem. Amulei said back to him, no, anan shluchim mitzvah. You know, mishluchim mitzvah anan. We are anan shluchim mitzvah anan. Upturim min asukah. We're shluchim mitzvah. Rashi says, lahakril p'nei rosh gola. Dechai vodam lahakril p'nei rabo beregel. You have to go visit your Rebbe for the regel. Upatrina for your potter. Tanan lakaman, like the Mishnah says, navchafei. Shluchim mitzvah. Upturim min asukah. And therefore, putinu min asukah or putter from sitting in a sukkah altogether. So don't think the reason we sat in here is because we're okay with it, because it's fine. Rather, he could have put us anywhere because we're putter from sukkah. Nice try. Okay, now, we discussed a concept of sitting in a kinofos. We said kinofos is the four-post type of bed. It's a bed of four posts, and you put like a sheet on top of that. That's no good in a sukkah. But a nakliten, which is a two-post shtickle right by the head and by the feet, and then it comes and slopes down on either side, they said that's going to be fine, which actually looks like a tent, right? But it's not considered. We'll now see another type of structure that could be okay to sit in a sukkah. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mutter Lishon Bekila Besukkah. A person is allowed to go and sleep in a kilon in the sukkah. What is a kilon? We'll see in a second. Afal pi sheyish lagag, even though there's a roof. But that's only if it's not 10 tefachim high. Only if it's not 10 tefachim up. This is Mechilkos Rishonim. Rashi says it's not 10 tefachim above the actual bed itself. So, interesting. Mutter to sleep in a kila. And a kila, we know, is a little bit different than a kinofos. What's the difference? Kinofos, it's very chazak. It's kaviyah. The posts are very attached to each other in a very strong way. But when it comes to a kila, that's more of a temporary type of shtickle toira. And even though there's a roof, as long as it's in 10 tefachim, therefore you are okay. We're going to have a few questions against this, namely three questions, but we're going to get out of them and he's going to survive. Right? So that is the statement over here. We have from Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Question number one. Tashma. Let's take a look and see. We have a braisa, which kind of pretty much goes straight out against this. What does it say? Hayoshen bikila basukah. Lo yatsi dechavaso. You said I can sleep in a sukkah. Here it's a straight up in the braisa. Someone who sleeps in a kila in a sukkah, he's not yotsi. What are you going to say to that? Says Gemara, no. Hacha, b'maya, skina. What are we dealing with? The case that he's no good. That's only when it's above 10 tefachim, which we said ourselves. This is not going to be good if it's 10 tefachim high. Ay, meisave, frek the Gemara from another Mishnah in Chafim Rebeis. It says, Hayoshin tachas amita besukkah, lo yotzi dechavoso. Someone who sleeps under a bed in the sukkah, he's not yotzi his chov. What are you going to say to that? Ha, tigam shmul, but mita gavasar. That's talking about a bed that's above 10 tefachim. Same answer. Question number three. Tachima, we bring a raya from our own Mishnah. Oche, peris al gabi kinofos psula. Or if you go and you put on top of kinofos, the four post shtick with the sheet on top of it, it's a no-go, ain't good. What are you going to do now? Oche, peris, so what are you going to say? It's going to be hasam nami to give you a sara. That's talking about where it's 10 tfachim tall. Now we're going to revise that answer right now based off a question. Our question is less answer because we learn in a brisa that we're talking about even when the kinofos are not 10 tefachim tall, it's still puzzle. V'halo katani achi. We didn't learn like that. The time is only 10 brisa. Naklitin shtayim. The naklitin is talking about the two-post shtickle. V'kinofos arba. That's going to be four. Peris al gabi kinofos psula. You put on top of kinofos, it's puzzle. Al gabi naklitin share, but on top of naklitin, it's going to be kosher. As long as it's not above 10. What does that tell you? Michlal de kinofos, afal pi shein gavon asara. Even if it's not 10, it's still going to be problematic, right? So what are you going to say? We learn in Braisa that we're talking about even when the kinovas are not 10 tefachim tall, it's still going to be puzzle. So how could you go and you say, question number three, we said, is from our own Mishnah, kinofos is a no-go. We said, nah, it's talking about where it's 10 tefachim tall. Even if it's below 10 tefachim, it's still going to be a problem. Answers the Gemara in Chinami. So shiny kinofos is a different reason why kinofos are a problem. Shiny kinofos, even less than 10, why? The kavie, because it's kaveh, it's kavua, it's solidly attached to the bed. So even if it's less than 10 tefachim, it's still going to be pasul. Wow. Aye, very sukkah, gabi sukkah. What about a case of a sukkah on top of a sukkah? The vade de kaviyah, that's certainly kavua. Va'amar Shmuel kechshira kach psula. And we saw that Shmuel himself says that kechshira kach psula. That's like we started earlier in today. Meaning that it's got to be 10 tefachim in order to pasul. Right? The pasul went under it. And if it's not 10 tefachim, then even if it's kaviyah, even if it's kavua, it's not going to pasul the lower one. So similarly by kinofos, if it's less than 10 tefachim, it shouldn't pasul, even if it's kavua. What are you going to say to that? And says Gemara, Amri Hossam de la Misal Sukkah Basara, Hacha de la Shavye Ohola. And Botsime Asara Nami Havayola, Enechinami. It's a good point. But that case of the Sukkah, we're dealing whether it hits the size of Sukkah or not, in order to see if we're going to pasul the lower one. Therefore, 10 tefachim is a major factor to see if it's a Sukkah or not. If it's below 10 tefachim, then it's not going to pasul it, even if it's kavua. However, by kinofos, the discussion is whether or not it's considered an ohel. Right? It's not a question of it's a sukkah or not a sukkah. It's a question about whether it's considered an ohel, and therefore it's something. And it can be considered an ohel, even if it's less than 10 tefachim, because it's kviyah, and therefore it's going to be a problem. All right, now we have another din that Shmuel brings about being in a type of ohel matzav. Says the Gemara, Amar Techlifa bar Avime, Amar Shmuel, Hayoshin Bekila Arum. Someone who goes and they sleep in a kila. That's the Shvacha type of kinofos, right? The one that is not so star connected. Someone who sleeps in a kila Arum. You're sleeping in the nude, in your birthday suit. And what happens? Comes time to say Kriyashma. What do you do? Motzi, Rosho, Chutzla, Kila, Vakur, Kriyashma. You could stick your head out and say Shema. Right, because it's like the tent itself that you're in is covering your body, and your head is separate. You're not allowed to have your head see your erva, and therefore it's you can say Shema. So now, Frek the Gemara, Rashi says, since it's not considered an ohel, therefore his head doesn't get dragged back in by roll of his body being inside, and it's not like his head, and it's similar to the case of where your head is sticking out of your shirt. No problem, not considered like an ohel. Now, Hamayoshin Bekila, Frek the Gemara, Meisvei. Hayoshin Bekila Arum. We have a Brisa that says explicitly not like that. Someone sleeping in a Kila in the nude. Lo Yotzi Rosho Chutza Kila Bikur Kishma. You're not allowed to go and do such a thing. Right? Takasha says you're not allowed to don't stick your head on Tishma. How'd you say you are going to stick your head on Tishma? That's Gemara, no. Hachamay Skinon. What's the Brisa talking about? That's Kishizho Kishe Gavoha Asara. That's talking about a case where this tent, where this Kila is 10 tefachim tall. And Shmuel's case is where it's less than 10. That's why, according to the Braisa, it's an ohel. And according to Shmuel, it's not an ohel. And therefore, it's just like it's covering you. If it's an ohel, then it goes like Rashi pointed out before, then a robe of your body's there, the rest of your body gets dragged into it. But if it's not an ohel, so then it's like clothing that's covering over you, and it's totally fine. And we also have a raya for such a thing. Hachanem yustabra. It also makes sense to say such a thing. Midikatani seifa, because the end of the Braisa, what does it say in that very Braisa? What it's talking about, that he's got someone who sleeps in the nude, don't stick your head out, right? It's an issue. And we said that's talking about above 10. Because ha lamaza zadoma, miktani sefer, the braisa at the end says, what's it compared to? La'omi b'bayis arum. It's like someone sitting in their house and they're naked. Shalayotzi rosho chutz l'chalon v'ikur kriyashma. Don't stick your head outside and then say kriyashma. Shema mina. What does that bring out? What do we see from here? That the kila in the braisa is talking about above 10 tefachim. And that's why you can't say shema, because it's considered an ohel. But if it's less than that, the kila would be less than that. You can't say Shema, because it's not considered like an ohel. Beep, turn the page off your aleph, says the Gemara. Ubayis nami, by a house also, afa pish engavo asar. Even though the house is not 10 tfachim tall, still came into kviya ohelu. Since it's kavua, it's considered an ohel, like we saw before. The lo garam be kinofos, because it's no worse than a kinofos. Then we said that there's solidly stuck four poles to the bed shtickle, that if it's less than 10, it's still going to be a problem because of the fact that it's kviya. And this is no different than that. No less than that. It's even more than that. And that's why you're going to have it's considered an ohel and the problem is to stick your head out. even if it's less than 10. Okay, my friends, we're going to stop over here. I wish all y'all a great, great day.